Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John 7, Jesus said in verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast. You know, Jesus never missed a feast. God the Father was the one that ordained feasting. Feasting was God's idea from the very beginning. He had multiple feasts throughout the years for the children of Israel under the old covenant. How much more should we be feasting, celebrating, and living it up under the new covenant as New Testament believers? Praise God. Amen. Thank God for a feast. Jesus was always at the feast. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's the kind of Jesus we have. You know, the religious people didn't like it. When they saw Jesus, they said, why, he's a wine bibber. He's a wine bibber. And a friend of the tax collectors. They thought he was a drunk, you know, because he was so full. So full of an intoxicating God. So full of the intoxicating Spirit of God. I'm telling you, God's Spirit's intoxicating. And the devil, he's always trying to, you know, he's always trying to counterfeit God. And he can't even come close. Come on, somebody. I mean, when you get to know God, you come out of the world, you know, after doing all the party stuff that the world does. You know, and you come out of that, and you come over, and you really come over here, and you really see where the party is. Then you look back and go, that was not a party. That was pathetic. Doing the thing on the dance floor, drinking substances that made you dizzy, made you feel seasick without even having to be out on sea. Right? You know, you look at that and go, that's a mess. That's not a party, that's a mess. This is the party. Yeah. Glory be to God, it's over here with Jesus. It's over here living the life filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. That's the life. Hallelujah. Which means church should be a real exciting place. It should be a party. Well, the Bible refers to it as a love feast. There's that feast again. A party. It's a love party. Praise God. Welcome to the party this morning, everybody. It's a love party. Hallelujah. We're going to enjoy the love of God together. Can you say amen? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, party hardy. Glory be to God. I mean, don't just show up to show up. I mean, show up to party. Let's get all we can get while the getting's good. Praise God. Now, Jesus said after at the end of this feast, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So he's letting them know, you see this feast that we're having here, we've been having all week long? He says, if you really want to drink, if you really want a party, if you really want a feast, if you really want to be full of life, come to me. Come to me, because that's what these feasts, these Old Testament feasts, are a type of. They're a type of Jesus. They're a type of Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate feast. He is the ultimate party. He says, come to me. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart or out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Will flow rivers of living water. Man, we've got life on the inside of us. We got to learn to let this life loose. We got to learn to let these rivers go. Come on, the devil's always trying to build up dams in our mind. He's always trying to dam up the river with a bunch of doubt and unbelief, a bunch of fear. A bunch of other things. Just tries to dam up that river. But thank God for the word of God. And you know, it just takes one good shout to break down the dam of the devil. It don't matter how long the dam's been being built. The devil's had 1,000 imps out there working hard day and night to build up this dam in your mind. But man, one word from God, one revelation from God, hallelujah, could cause you to release a shout, release a rush of life, a rush of this living water that just takes the whole thing down and just goes and keeps on going. Got to keep it going, folks. Keep it flowing. Keep that life of God flowing out of you. And then it went on to say in verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. This living water that he was talking about was the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet accomplished his work and been raised from the dead and honored by the Father to be sat at his right hand. But once that happened, once Jesus was raised up, sat at the right hand of the Father, he received from the Father the Holy Spirit and poured him out on you and I. And now the Holy Spirit is here for you and I to live the life, to live the life, to live the abundant life of God that he created us to live. The Spirit of God is here to help us in every area of life. And like we said, the Holy Spirit is to us today, and even more so than Jesus was to his disciples back when he walked the earth. And you stop and think about that. That's an amazing thought to revisit. To think that, you know, Jesus walked with these men, talked with these men, had close fellowship with these men. And yet Jesus went on to say that those who had received the Holy Spirit after he ascends to the Father has something that's a whole lot greater. So that means we have what they had, what the disciples had, and a whole lot more. A whole lot more. And we went into length, into detail about why it is so much better to have the Holy Spirit with us than having Jesus here in the flesh with us. A lot of reasons. You can go back, listen to those messages. Aren't you grateful for recordings? Yes. Aren't you glad we can record these things? So we can go back, revisit them, listen to it, and get all the revelation out of it that God has for us. But the Holy Spirit, he is God. He's just as much as God as the Father and Son. He is a person. He is the source of all true New Testament ministry. New Testament ministry is referred to in 2 Corinthians 3:8 as the ministry of the Spirit. He is Jesus' replacement here on the earth. He is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord, and he is a gift. He is a gift to you and I. And again, I really encourage you to go back and listen to those messages a few weeks ago about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not something that we earn. He's something that is freely given to you and I. And then also, we've taken some time and looked at how he is a law. He is a law. And we got that from Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. You know, many times a series is like a good book. How many people know if you're reading a book, it has more than one chapter, right? And if it's a book that's trying to teach you something, then, I mean, you want to stay with the book and read all the chapters in that book to get the full teaching on that subject. Well, see, that's how a series is here at church. You know, every week is like another chapter. So there's another chapter in this book on the Holy Spirit. This message on the Holy Spirit that you and I are to hear. And we don't want to skip over this chapter. We don't want to miss this chapter, because this chapter is going to pull a lot of the other chapters we've already read together and cause a lot of things that are yet to come to make more sense to us. So open yourself up and let's get everything God's got for us today. I'm really excited about what he's got for us today. So let's get everything he has for us. Romans 8, verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So we talked about how God, the Holy Spirit, he is a law of life. life. He is the spirit of life, a law of life. And being a law, he is absolute. He is established. He is fixed. He is immovable, right? Just like the law of gravity is a law that's available to us every time you work it. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you're not worried about the law of gravity not being here for you, right? You're not thinking about tomorrow and being anxious. How many are anxious about tomorrow that they might float away? Gravity might just stop existing. Gravity might just decide it ain't going to be gravity tomorrow. How many people worried about that? Nobody's worried about that. It's a law, right? So you know it is fixed. It is absolute. It is totally dependable. Totally dependable. So is the Holy Spirit. Totally dependable. Who the Word says he is who he is. What he says is the way it is. When he speaks, when God speaks, it is law. It is absolute. It is a command. It isn't a suggestion. It isn't just a fleeting thought or an idea. No, it is a command. It is solid. It is forever established. All right? He is a law. And also, just like electricity is the law here in the natural realm. Electricity, we have electricity in the natural realm. The Holy Spirit, he is a law in the spiritual realm. So, and he works the same way. That's what's so amazing. Just like you can conduct this electricity and you can purpose to do it. You can tap into it. You can create outlets in buildings and run wires and cause that electricity to be channeled into a place so that people can plug into it and they can use it and it's dependable. It's there. It works all the time. Electricity works all the time when it's worked correctly, right? We know that in the natural. Spiritually, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And he can be conducted. He can be plugged into. He can be tapped into. He can be transferred and transmitted to other people through the laying on of hands. Bible talks about that's one way. He can be literally transmitted to others. Paul had cloths and handkerchiefs on his body. And he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So much so that when they took those cloths from his body, they had become like batteries. They were charged with the power of God. And he would take those cloths, lay them on sick people, demon oppressed and possessed people, and the demons would go and people were healed because that power would just flow out of that cloth into their bodies. And see, it's an absolute thing. This isn't something that's kind of mystical and weird and you never know. And you know, God just decided to do that back then. God decided back then that he was going to do that with Paul the Apostle. God decided, you know, back then, and even sometimes today, you never know with God. It's unpredictable. It's unsure. Nobody can really know anything absolutely about God. I mean, if he wants to heal you, he'll heal you. If he wants to do a miracle, it's just one of those things. It's just spontaneous. It just happens. But nobody really knows. No, that's not the way it is. Just like electricity. See, the natural is to teach us about spiritual things. And we can know the Holy Spirit's here right now. The Holy Spirit's here right now. And that through faith in God, which comes by hearing what we're hearing this morning, the Word of God, we can rise up and plug into this power of God. Hallelujah. We can tap into this power and we can do it on purpose. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that power is here and that power will work every time we plug into it. Every time we plug into it through a thing called prayer. Every time we go to the Lord in prayer, in faith, we can know without a shadow of a doubt, I receive what I have asked for. I receive of the promise of God. See, faith is knowing. Faith knows some things. Faith doesn't have any wavering or doubting about it. It is fully confident. The only way you can be fully confident in God like that, to have unwavering faith, is to know that God is a law. The more you understand that, then the more you'll have unwavering faith to know when you get up in the morning, just as surely as I plug in the hairdryer, bless God, I can plug into the Holy Spirit, praise God. I can lift up. How do you plug it? Well, start praising Him, praise God. You can start praising Him. You can lift your hands to Him. Start speaking His word. Draw near to Him. You see, there's this absolute truth that if I draw near to Him, He will draw near to me. Like a magnet. You know, there are natural laws involved in how a magnet works, right? There's a positive, there's a negative, and you can take that magnet and take the negative and draw near the positive, and what's going to happen to the positive? It's going to run to the negative, right? The negative and the positive. As the negative gets close to the positive doesn't go, I don't feel like it. I'm talking about a magnet. Does the magnet go, I don't like you. I'm not in the mood for this today. Is that what a positively charged magnet does to a negatively charged magnet? Huh? Does it sit there and go, no, I don't feel like it. And besides that, you look dirty and you look ugly, magnet, and I don't want to be joined to you. Right? There's no weirdness like that, right? You know these magnets work. Every time when I take the negative and I draw it near the positive, I know what's going to happen. I can predict without any doubt what the positive magnet is going to do. It's going to come right at me. Cling to me. We're the negative. God is the positive. When negative draw near to positive, God, come on. When negative draw near to positive, God, you're going to get God. I said, you're going to get God. If you draw near to God, humbling yourself before Him, that's the negative. That's the negative. You're God, I'm not. You're God, I'm not. I need you. I love you. I mean, you're awesome. You're greater than me. You're wonderful. You're awesome. See? Don't just praise Him to make noise. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Stop the shouting, preacher. Right? No. We're charging ourselves. Negative. Because we're humbling ourselves. We're in the negative. We're the one in need. We're the ones that need Him. We're the ones that can't make it without Him. We got a lot of negative situations apart from Him. We have to have you. Oh, God, you're so great. God, you're so awesome. We thank you. You're so good. You're so amazing. What's happening? You're charging yourself negatively. What's going to happen if you draw near to Him? He told you already. He's going to draw near to you. It's automatic. But now, if we're positively charged, and we pray something like this, Father, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I pay my tithes and I attend church every week and I read my Bible and very faithful into your house. And so I come to you knowing that I'm great in your sight, as I am in my own sight and in the sight of everybody in the synagogue. And I thank you. How many people know two positives? What happens? What happens with two positives? Hey, God. This is positive. Two magnets. Hey, God. God, you ever have fun doing that? You take a positive magnet, you chase the other magnet. And you know, this is what I tell you. You try to make it work. You try to bring them together. You can't do it. And that's where a lot of people are with God. I'm trying. I'm being such a good person. I'm doing everything right. I'm loving everybody. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. But where is He? I'm coming after you. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. I enter your courts with praise. Where are you? And God's like, and it's not like God doesn't like you. It's just he cannot connect with you. Because it's a law. It's not a feeling thing. It's not a respecter of persons thing. You understand what I'm saying? God's not judging you, saying, stay away from me. Stay away from me. No, he's not. It's just, it's what's happening. God's going, I love you. I hope you're getting the illustration. David, come here. Now, I'm God. David's not. But he thinks he is. Because he's always trying to do things out of self-righteousness and always exalting himself. That's right, David. Look at that. And so now David, I love David. I love David. But David is approaching me all charged with himself. Go ahead, David. You see, thank you, David. God is wanting him. Come to me, David. And David's like, I am God. I am God. I'm like, come to me, David. Humble yourself, David. I am God. I am humble. I'm the humblest person in my church. Thank you. It's a law. It isn't like God's got an attitude with somebody. God loves everybody equally. But people aren't receiving equally because of what they're charged with. See, there are spiritually scientific reasons for why things work and don't work. And so it's up to us to get in the Word and find out what we're doing wrong. Where am I missing it? Where am I missing it? And maybe there's areas where you're not missing it. You just need to endure. You just need to exercise patience and be confident knowing I draw near to him, he draws near to me. I don't feel him, but he's here. He is with me because I humble myself. I recognize I'm nothing apart from him. I exalt him. I got no problem praising him. Come on, somebody. And you know you're doing the right thing. How do you know you can know you're doing the right thing? We have to play this false humility game like, well, you know, you never know. You know, you can never admit you're humble because that would be pride. Well, that's just not true. You need to know when you're humble and when you're not. And through the Word of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we could know. I said we could know. We can know when we're doing good and we can approach God and know that we're right with him through the blood of Jesus, not according to our own righteousness, but through the blood of Jesus, we've been washed. I've confessed my sins. Praise God. I don't have any guilt or sense of condemnation about me. I know I'm right in the sight of God. I got confidence in Jesus. I draw near to him. And I know, therefore, he's right here with me. He's right here. I mean, when I was newly saved, you know, and you'd mess up, you know, you'd have a temper tantrum or do something in the flesh, and you'd just feel so disconnected from God. You just feel so unworthy and so cut off from him. And I'd come to God, and I'd feel him just far away, but I'd open up the Bible. Just newly saved, but the Spirit of God, he led me. I knew what I was supposed to do. I opened up the Bible. I turned to 1 John 1:9 many times. Turned to 1 John 1:9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'd just read that scripture and I'd say, now God, I repent for what I did and the way I acted and it was wrong. And I confess that to you right now. And I thank you according to your word, I'm forgiven. And now I am clean. I am cleansed from all unrighteousness because you said so. And so I thank you. You said, if I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. And here I am. And I thank you. You're right here with me. Because everything in the flesh and my mind's telling me, God's a million miles away from you. God has forsaken you. God has taken all. He's running the other way from you. Because you really stink. You really stink in his sight. And he's just running away from you right now. Come on. How many of you feel that way? Huh? But thank God for the truth. Thank God for the word. And we can find out what we need to do to make it right. So that he's not far from us. He's right here with us. And I can know, you can know, that God is right here with me right now.
God is with me right now. Glory be to God. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the washing of the word of God, he is right here with me right now. It's a guarantee. I'm not going by how I feel. I'm not going by how things appear. Sometimes it looks like God is, that looks like the devil's there. Looks like the devil's got us surrounded again. But oh, thank God for the word. The Bible says the angel of the Lord surrounds those who fear him. The angel of the Lord, I got angels surrounding me. Feels like demons are all around me, but bless God, angels are all around me. Hallelujah. Bible tells me the devil's under my feet. I feel like I'm under an attack. But the Bible says the devil's under my feet. Somebody's under somebody, and the Bible tells me it's the devil, it's under me, praise God. I'm not under his attack. He's under my feet, which means he's under my attack. Here I come. Right? See, we're putting our confidence in the word. Hallelujah. Just like an electrician goes in there and he studies the laws of electricity so he doesn't get himself killed. And he gets in there and he learns how to use it and becomes skillful at it. That's what we're to be doing with the law of the spirit of life. That's what we're supposed to do with the law of the spirit of life. Learning how to operate in the law of the spirit of life. It's absolute. It's all the time. It's fixed. It's not changing on us. Praise God. We're not changing God. Our bad behavior doesn't make God any less good towards us. Our good behavior doesn't make God any more better towards us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever in your life. He has not changed. I said he's not changed. Now, again, we can change and we can misuse the law and not work the law and just be over here in the flesh and basing everything on the natural laws of life, just totally neglecting and forgetting that there are spiritual laws that need to be honored and respected, right? So we can do things that cause us to miss out on the blessings. We can even do things to short circuit the blessing of God, the power of God flowing into our life. There's things the Bible teaches. Don't do this. Stay away from that. Why? God will be mad at you? No, it'll short circuit the power of God in your life. God ain't any more mad at you or glad with you than he was yesterday or last year. And he'll be the same tomorrow because that's what the Bible says about God. How many people like that? To know that he's the same. He's solid. He's not changing. He's not going anywhere. Praise God. So that means it's just left up to me to just recharge myself, rethink things, rework things, just get my mind renewed, get myself plugged into him and keep the plug in. Keep the power flowing. I just got to do my part. And oh, thank God the word teaches us our part. It shows us what we need to do to connect with this law of life, this spirit of life. Can you say amen? Amen? Well, now that he is a law to us, we've got a hold. How many people got a hold of that now? Kind of, you got a hold of it somewhat? All right, good. Meditate on it more, praise God, your faith will grow. Your confidence will grow, praise God. You'll wake up more secure tomorrow if you think about it tonight. More you think about these and meditate, the more we get a hold of this, the more secure you're going to be, the more confident you're going to be. God is right here with me. Praise God. I'm not a feeling-led person. I'm not moved by what I see and what I feel. Praise God. I'm on a rock. Man, I'm living a solid life. I'm not getting pushed around, bounced around by the storms of life, by the lies of the devil. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. It's so nice when the devil comes a-lying and nobody's believing him. Because everybody knows the truth. Amen. It's so nice to know the truth so that no matter what kind of deception comes at you, and the devil, he can whip up some good deceptions. But no matter what kind of deception comes at you, you know the truth. You know how it really is. You're plugged into the way things are. And you're not moved by the way things only appear to be. You're not moved by how it looks. Man, stable. Immovable. Everything else can be shaking and moving, rattling all around us, but we're plugged in. Whole world is shaking. Seems like all the whole earth is shaking. Yeah, but praise God, we're not. We're unshakable because we know He'll never leave me or forsake me. He said, though the mountains be removed and be cast into the midst of the sea, his love for me would never fail. And that he's with me always, even until the end of my job. No, even until the end of the world.
I lost my job. I don't know what we're going to do. We need money.
He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but I'm with you even until the end of the world. Who cares about the end of your job? If the world's still here, we're okay. Why? Because he's with me. He's with you. Woo! Hallelujah. And he's just as much in love with you today as he was on the day that he hung on the cross for you. On the day that he sent somebody to minister the gospel to you and got you born again. He hasn't changed a bit. He still loves you. He's a law. You got that? He's a law. And being a law, he can be mechanical. Right? When you think of something that's a law, something that works a certain way, no matter, you know, every time you work it, this is the way it works. Kind of like machinery, right? I think about our copy machine here at the church. You go over to that copy machine and you put something in it and you program it and you push your buttons. It doesn't look at you and go, please move closer to the copy machine that I might see if you're worthy of me. That'd be a flaky copy machine. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? You go over to that copy machine and you're expecting to get some copies out of the thing. And it says, no, you didn't act right yesterday. No, you didn't act right yesterday. Treat your wife better. No copies until you treat your wife better. It's like, that'd be a frustrating thing. Have you ever had a copy machine like that? You got a copy machine with an attitude problem? What would some of you do if your coffee machine had an attitude in the morning? I don't. She said go to Starbucks. I don't feel like percolating. I don't feel rather perky this morning. Go perk your own coffee. That wouldn't be good. Some of you would really, you'd be lost. If your coffee machine woke up the way you woke up. Sometimes, you know. Praise the Lord. No, we expect these things to work, right? We expect these things. They were created and designed a certain way to work, and we expect them to work. Something mechanical is indifferent to people. Machinery is indifferent towards you. It doesn't have a personality. So it doesn't have attitudes. It doesn't have mood swings, right? It's a piece of machinery, and we expect it to work a certain way. Well, guess what? God, in one sense, is very mechanical. Faith is very mechanical. We can plug into him. His power will flow. He is dependable all the time. And there are certain things that we can learn about him that when we work them, they will work every time we work them. But yet, he's not just mechanical, but he's personal. He's personal. He is a spirit. He has a personality. He feels. And he cares. He's not cold and indifferent like the law of gravity, like electricity, like the law of thrust and lift that we talked about, like magnetic laws. He's not cold and indifferent and without feeling like these natural laws are. Because he is a law, but he's not just a law. He is a spirit. He's a spirit. And he has feelings. And he can be touched. And is moved by what moves us. Now someone thinks, well, you just said, though, he's a law, he's fixed, he's immovable. Now, this is where we got to get the balance. He's a law, he's fixed, he's immovable, and yet He's a spirit. And he's moved by what moves us. He's touched with what touches you. He feels for you and he cares deeply about you. He's a God that has sympathy and compassion for you and I. And you say, well, how can he be unmoved by us being a law and yet moved with what moves us? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, there's a lot in that. There are all kinds of spiritual laws that we have learned about in the series that we just did recently on the healing techniques of Jesus. Notice that. Healing techniques of Jesus. There were certain spiritual laws that Jesus walked in to bring healing to others. And there were spiritual laws that the people that were healed by him connected with, plugged into, to receive their healing. This is not Jesus just randomly going around because, you know what, like a lot of people teach, he went around healing people to prove that he was the Son of God. Well, that's ridiculous because there were several times that we see in the few recorded cases in the Bible of individual healings that he took the person that he healed aside, away from the crowd, and then after he healed him, he told him, now don't go back there and tell anybody what I've done. Don't go in there and tell anybody. If he was trying to prove he was the Son of God, why is he telling him not to tell anybody? And time again, people that were healed by him, Jesus would say, your faith has healed you. Or your faith has made you whole. And he'd blame it on them. He would say it was something that you did that caused you to receive what you received today. And he probably said that in front of the crowd of people to help them get a hold of what they need to do to be able to receive from him. Because there were times where people were just all around him, touching him, and just it couldn't be any closer to him, but they weren't healed by him. And then someone would come through the crowd, reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and power would flow out of him into that person and heal him. And Jesus said in front of everybody, your faith has healed you. He's letting them know. She did something. She connected to a spiritual law here. And that law is available to every one of you. It is not a respecter of persons. If you'll do what she did, learn what she did, humble yourselves, rise up in faith, do what she did, you'll have what she had. We can have what she had. We can have any kind of blessing that we see anybody in the Word of God get. Amen. And so it says, he went about the villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and a healing. Notice that the preaching came, teaching and preaching came before the healing. What do you mean? Well, he's getting out there and he's teaching them the laws. He's teaching them the laws, and then those that are hearing the laws, the spiritual laws that he's teaching, laws of love, laws of faith, you know, love your neighbor, forgiveness, learning all these different things that if we don't operate in them, we short-circuit the power of God. He's out there. He's teaching these things, and the people that are believing it and responding to it, being doers of it, and need healing, are plugging into it, tapping into it, receiving their healing. So it's teaching, number one, preaching, number two, and thirdly, healing. The teaching and preaching was setting them up for the healing. Teaching and preaching is setting you up for a healing. Teaching and preaching is setting you up for a blessing. Teaching and preaching is setting you up for the power of God, come on, to come rushing into your life. You're being set up this morning. If you're getting this, praise God, you can do this. And if you do this, then you can have whatsoever things you desire. You can have whatsoever things you desire. So he's teaching, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, watch this, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Notice that. He was moved, wasn't he? Was Jesus moved? Did Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Yes. And yet here, he's moved with compassion. And many times folks will look at that and say, well, you see, it's the compassion of Jesus that caused him to heal those people. It was because of compassion that he went out there and healed those people. And the reason why you're not healed is because he doesn't have much compassion on you. He ain't having the same warm feelings for you that he had for them. Right? Because it was compassion that caused him to heal them. If it was compassion that caused him to heal them, then where's his compassion today? For those that need healing today. Is he just not as compassionate today? He's not feeling it. Huh? We can go into prayer and we could sing to God, you lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. You lost that loving feeling. Now I'm gone, 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 done. Kaput. God lost his love and feelings. I'm sorry he fell out of love with you. He did. That's why you can't get healed. Right? Come on, let's get this. If it was compassion that caused Jesus to heal them, then the only reason why you wouldn't be healed today is because of a lack of compassion of Jesus towards you. Wouldn't that be right? Of course it would be. But the good news is, it didn't say Jesus healed these people because of compassion. Didn't say anything about Jesus being led by compassion to heal these people. Because of compassion, he healed the people. Doesn't say that. What does it say? Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. He wasn't moved by compassion to heal them. He was moved with compassion. There's a big difference. Compassion isn't what led him to do what he did. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was conducted by laws of the Spirit. And people would plug into that, see? And they'd receive from him. But he wasn't like a cold cucumber. He wasn't like Icicle Man. And people would just get healed. You know, and there was no feeling. He was moved with compassion. He cared. He was sympathetic. He was patient. He was sensitive to the individuals that came to him to receive healing. He was patient with where they were at. There was a lot of these folks that were getting healed, but there was a lot of these folks weary and scattered that he couldn't help. There was a lot of folks that didn't get help by him. But he was moved with compassion for them, and he would teach them, and he would work with them. But he didn't compromise who he was and how he did things for compassion. He does things according to laws. But he is a very sensitive, loving God, so that he's not legalistic and says, tap into me the way you're supposed to, I'll be gone with you. He's not cold like that. That's not him. He's wooing us. He's wanting us. He's drawing us. He's patient with us. He's forgiving us. He's working with us. Come on. He talks tender to us. He loves us. He cares about us. He's not legalistic, even though he's a law. He's not legalistic. You ever meet a legalistic person? You're like in the military, you know. Yeah, it's very legalistic. Get down and give me 50. Yes, sir. I mean, everything's just, I mean, it's harsh, it's tough, it's mean, it's cold. Right? It's not how God is. He's the law. You're gonna have to line up to him because his love isn't licentiousness, as a lot of folks think it is. They don't understand he's the law. They just see compassion and love. Yes, God is love. And he loves me the way I am. And whatever kind of lifestyle I want to engage in, I know God loves me. And I'm a loving person. I'm perverted, but I'm loving. It's a perverted love, but it's love. And because it's love, God loves me. I'm accepted by him and everything's beautiful. No, see, you don't understand. He's a law. And he's the Holy Spirit. He's not the common and anything goes spirit. There's a certain way he does things. And that's the way it is. And he loves you, but he ain't changing nothing of who he is for you. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And he doesn't work with you. And he talks to the sinner. And he tries to make friends with sinners and tax collectors. And he tries to woo them. And he's patient and he's kind. And he's not turned off and cold and indifferent towards us. But yet, we've got to get it right. We've got to line things up, make the connection. It's his way. He's God. He's holy. There's no compromise. If you violate his laws, it could kill you. If you violate his laws, it could destroy your life. Even though he loves you and wants the best for you, and he's answering your prayers, and he's blessing you as far as he can bless you. It's amazing to me. You see, folks, just violating God's laws. And yet, he's telling them things. They're hearing from him. Huh? They pray, and they make a connection over here with him. And he does something for them. In an area where they're connecting with him. But then you look over here and say, what a mess. I mean, they're so disconnected. They're so in violation of God's way of thinking and God's way of doing things. How could this be? Because he's a person of love and mercy and compassion and care. And he's sensitive like nobody we've ever met before. Come on. Oh, he's so good, so merciful. And he's wooing us and he's working with us. Even the most obnoxious, satanic sinner, he's still working with him. He still wants him. He still loves him. He's not turned off by them and that's the end of you. It's not the way he is. I said it's not the way he is. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus brings light into the Old Testament. If we just stay at the Old Testament, we're not going to get the whole picture. We're going to have a lot of misunderstandings. You take Jesus and go into the Old Testament. And he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Are you with me? So that's why you see this God who's loving and he's working and he's moved with tender care and pity towards people. But yet he's, though full of compassion, he is not a compromising God. He's not going to compromise who he is. We're still going to have to learn his way and come over and hook up with him. We're going to have to come in line with his design for our life. Come on, we're going to have to come in line if we're going to walk in the fullness of the blessing of God. If we're going to have long life and hell and we got to learn his ways and keep judging ourselves and keep connecting ourselves with him. We can't kid ourselves and say, he's love, he's great, he's compassion. And because of his compassion, he'll never leave me or forsake me. Well, no, he is a God of compassion. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But if you rub yourself positive and you play God and you violate his laws, no matter how much he's trying to be with you, you guys are not going to be able to connect. You and God will not have a connection. Do you see this? So he's not legalistic, but he's not licentious either. He's the law of the Spirit. He's both law and spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is not legalism, there isn't licentiousness, but there is liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is liberty when we make this connection with God. Can you say amen? You know, you can kind of see the positive and negative right there in God himself. You know, to make electricity, you have to have positive and negative charge. Isn't that right? To have electricity? Well, you got the negative, which is the law. We say the law is negative. But then the Spirit is positive. Positive. You put the two together. You got the power of God. You got the flow of the Holy Spirit. You got light. Woo! Now, knowing that he is that way, we can now grow up and become like him. We were created in his image and likeness. So we now need to grow up and we need to become like God. We're not legalistic. We're not licentious. We don't judge people, look down on people, feel superior to people, better than everybody else. That ain't us. Right? We're not over here. No, no, no. We humble ourselves. We're meek. We're lowly. But at the same time, we've got authority. We walk in the confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus. Right? There's that humility and there's faith. There's that negative. There's that positive. We're not legalistic. We're not licentious. But we're walking in that liberty of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And there's more we can say about this, you know. The mind is bases things on reasonings and facts. Your mind is very factual. And there's a lot of people, they are led primarily by their minds. They're very factual. It's law. This makes sense. That doesn't make sense. This is facts. This is the way it is. That's the way it is. And they look over and they see somebody being spontaneous, feeling the presence of God, getting emotional about Jesus, loving God. And they go, you little feeling-oriented emotional mess. Then the little feeling led by the Spirit emotional person, ready to dance, run, jump, shout, skip for Jesus. I feel his presence. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Person over here saying, it isn't about a feeling. It's about facts. It's about obeying the Bible. Bible, no Bible. It's just about, ooh, I feel Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. How many people know there's something right in between the two of those? Keep your head screwed on. And be led by the Spirit of God. And if you'll put the two together, ooh, hallelujah, you'll be a Life of Faith Bible Church congregation member. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet and shout and praise God. This one has a lot to thank God for. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.